Hello, it is Melanie Brown with you on the Big Red Bench Rebels. How are we feeling? What a loss, Limerick. And they are the Allianz Hurling League Division 1A champions, 127-121 over ourselves. And to make matters worse, Clare are Division 1B champions after getting a win over Dublin to 26-320. Now, we'll hopefully have reaction from the Gaelic grounds coming very, very soon. But before that, I caught up with our very own Dan Casey as he made it out of the Gaelic grounds just about alive. And we seem to have an issue with our audio player. So for now, we're going to switch to Wednesday night's post-match under 20-08. Sinead is signalling to me here that we might be able... No. We're sticking with Noel Furlong after the under-20s win over Limerick. They had a 4-18-21 point win. Now, it wasn't a great win. They were slow out the blocks, and Noel Furlong will see his thoughts.
Yeah, and as we know over the last few years, any win in this competition is difficult. So at the same time, it's important to win your home game. So we're delighted with the result there now tonight, and builds on a good performance last week. So that puts us in a solid position now going into our next game in 2 weeks against Waterford.
Definitely, and you had 10 different players on the score sheet there. I think Barry Walter in 2-12, Barry Flynn with 1-1. Like, that's
Look, I'm saying it consistently. We've very good forwards in this group, and we play an attacking brand of hurling, and I think we had a high number of scorers as well last week at the end of the game. And it doesn't matter if one of the forwards is held, we have a lot of talent up there, and that's, at the moment it's great, we're getting the scores on the board, but equally as important on the other end is clean sheet. So we would value them highly as well, so we were delighted with that. So both sides of the ball were positives tonight.
Definitely, and you mentioned clean sheet there. I think towards the end, David O'Leary made a save when it was coming up to the last few minutes.
That's it, and the lads pride themselves on good defending and collective defending, and clean sheets is a massive part of that. And last week we got caught for one which hit the post and came out. This week, clean sheet, so you take that one goal conceded in two games, and we haven't conceded too many other opportunities either outside of that, which is pleasing, but at the same time plenty to build on.
Definitely. And finally for me, off the ball work, like your hooks and your blocks tonight, I don't know what the stats were, but like they worked really well together as a team. They worked really well,
oil
team.
Yeah, and again, that's what we were saying coming away from Tipperary last week, was that a team is after being formed, and you could see it last week, especially when we had a man sent off and the pressure came on and we could have crumbled. It was the heart, the determination, the effort. I think we had 15 hooks, blocks and tackles in that second half last week, which was incredible. And tonight again, particularly, I suppose, when the match was in the melting pot, we hadn't the best start in the world again. Difficult enough conditions with the wind and the sun, it took us a while to settle, and you've seen it there when the crux of the match, I suppose, 10 minutes before half time and 10 minutes after half time, our lads really stepped up in those moments, and it transpired on the scoreboard afterwards.
Did he start telling you that the throw-in is 6.50 rather than 7 to, I think it was 6 points last week. I know it was only 4 this week, and there was a free that Barry went for goal, but he would have put over, but they don't panic even when they do fall behind, which I suppose is the heartening thing for yourselves.
That's it, and even myself on the sideline, I was there saying we've seen this picture, often it does take a little bit of time to settle down, and once we got into our groove, we really started to play some great hurling then, and lads started to express themselves. So yeah, it's definitely something we're going to look at, because that's two games now in a row where we haven't come out of the blocks fantastically, but at the same time, matches go like that, just the momentum and different patches the teams have. So Limerick just got their purple patch at the start, and look, we took over then after that, and we really stamped our authority just before half time.
And yeah, to be 4 down early on and be 6 up at half time, and was the message to the lads just keep going, because you went from 6 up to, I think, was it 11 up within the first 10 or 12 minutes?
That's it, and again, half time gives you a chance to just reset and kind of pick out the areas that are working well and kind of areas for development, and we certainly felt that any direct ball that we were getting into our inside forwards was causing serious concern for Limerick. And so the message was simple: get quick ball in as fast as we could, and you're seeing the danger that the boys were causing inside. So we got massive joy out of that, and we ended up with 4 goals. We could have had 8 or 9, and that's great to be creating those type of chances and taking them as well. So so there were some of the key changes that were made during the game.
And like, I think the pass to Finn for the penalty and the pass to Johnny for his goal, both by Dennis Fitzgerald. Like, he's the lad who's already played a lot of his Cork hurling at fullback, but last weekend, this week, he's been in the fullback line, but he's the guy marking the fella coming out, but he's kind of turning the tables, like, which I suppose is what you want, a player like that doing that.
That's exactly it, and you know yourself, the way hurling is these days, that, you know, the half forward line is back in their fullback line, and the full forward line and your cornerback will be up getting a score. So it's a very fluid game. You know, Dennis, in fairness to him, he'll do any job he's asked to do, and tonight it just transpired that his man was going away off back to pitch, and Limerick obviously set up with a sweep similar to Tip last week, so we had to make a couple of adjustments on the back of that. In fairness to Dennis, you know, anytime he got the ball, he used it very well, and it's good to have somebody who's a recognised back but also a threat going forward, so that's great for us.
And just finally, you've had two consecutive weeks of games now. I suppose you're glad to have the bit of a break before going on to Waterford in a fortnight.
That's it, and you know, that's the key game now for our season, that Waterford game. The Tip only beat them by a point tonight,
yeah.
And I think they missed the penalty, and Clare only beat them by a point last week up in Clare. So, you know, Waterford underage hurling is on a massive high after that All-Ireland victory last year, and they have that management team after stepping up to under 20, so that's going to be a colossal battle for us. And again, it just gives us a little bit of time now just to debrief. We've 2 games of evidence to work off of, and we really need to make sure that we are all guns blazing for that game, because that could be a season decider.
Apologies about the start of that, a little bit like Cork hurling. We were a bit slow out the blocks here on the big red bench this evening, but if you missed it, that was Noel Furlong, manager of Cork under 20 hurling team, after their 4-18-21 point win over Limerick on Wednesday evening. And now they look ahead, they have 2 weeks off for a game against Waterford, who lost out by just 1 point against reigning All-Ireland champions Tipperary. But for now, we turn our attention to Intercounty, and sadly the Rebels have lost 127-121 against Limerick, or villains slash rivals just over the border. Now, unfortunately, we're still waiting on audio, but myself and Dan caught up just after the game.
On to the villains layer, but look, Cork were very lucky, I think, to be in it going in after that first half. I think we're only, oh, geez, I can't remember how many points we were down by now, but we were very lucky anyway. We should have been down by 10. We're only down by 3, I think. So I think we were very lucky. That goal was just a boxy bit of luck by us, the Brian Hayes one. Limerick were all over us. Gillan was just unbelievable. Like, there was no marking him. Poor Sean, I don't know. He has nightmares about Gillan, I'd say, because Gillan tends to get the better of him now in the last few games. We need to start that one up for Championship. We're going to beat Limerick again, hopefully. And yeah, they were unbelievable. Will Donoghue, like, he was just awesome as well for the 3D boys. He was incredible. It's going to be a tough year ahead if we're going to stop Limerick, but I think this Cork team are more than capable. I think Ben will be pretty happy. Kieran Joyce came in at full back. I think he did a really good job, and Shane O'Brien. So I'll be taking the positive from that. I'll be taking the positive from Barry Walsh coming back into the fold. So yeah, I think did Limerick have the trophy today? I thought they would win beforehand. It's going to mean a lot more to them and their fan base than it would have to us, I think. You can see the dislike for Cork and MA in general coming off them. So yeah, I think leave them have this one, and I think we'll be back at some stage anyway.
Definitely, and obviously you mentioned the positives, but the one big thing surrounding Cork curling is our inability to play the 70 minutes. We've seen it a few times. We've seen it against Clare, obviously last year's All-Ireland final, there was the collapse after halftime. Like, what can we do to fix that?
I don't know, is it just strength and conditioning wise? I'm sure Ben will be aware of that anyway, and I'm sure that'll be something mapped out. Very slow start to the game. Again, my biggest worry coming out of the Offaly one was will be just a slow performance, and it was that for the first 10-15 minutes. We were gifted that goal. Could have been a lot worse, to be honest. Could have been an embarrassment today. We're lucky it wasn't. So yeah, I don't know how they do. I presume that's down to their S&C coach and all those guys. I'm sure they're, you know, extremely talented in whatever fields they're in. So hopefully they can turn that around. Maybe it's just a bit of concentration as well on the players' behalf.
Definitely. And then just in the freeze, what were the fans like? I think Aidan O'Connor was doing a bit of a Darren McCarthy on it, it seemed there from TG Cahir.
Were taking forever. The Limerick fans were getting antsy about the Cork fans getting antsy about it, but like it was ridiculous, to be honest. Same with the Darren McCarthy ones. I don't know what the GA are going to bring in a rule. They brought in a rule to stop Anthony Nash, so they're going to bring in a rule to stop these guys, because it was sus. It was ridiculous, now, to be quite honest about it. But you look, when it's happening against Cork, there's absolutely no issue. But when it's happening, when Cork are doing it, you know, there is an issue, as usual.
Yeah, and you're mentioning rules there. We obviously saw the dissent rule get brought in today, and just, it kind of takes away the player's voice. And like, we know some referees, after a game, they like to be splattered front page of the newspaper, an ego sort of a thing. Like I seen, I think it was Conor Cleary for Clare got pulled up in today, and Limerick, I won't name players, but Glan and Hegarty, they have a habit of tucking your hurley under their arm.
They do. I saw it.
So where does your forward stand, or your back? If you're playing a game, you try to tell the referee, they've been doing this now 3 or 4 times, I'm getting caught for it. Like, what does a player do? Like, this.
And he probably needs to go the way of rugby then, if you're going the descent route. And the captain just speaks to the ref. Can that ever happen in GA and hurling? Look, probably not. Let's be real. But if you're going doing that, maybe you just need one person talking to the referee, bringing an issue to his or her attention. So yeah, maybe that's what you do. Yes, Limerick are primed. They got a penalty, I think, actually, to knock us out of the championship. I think Glan did the same, so I don't know, 2 years ago, I could be wrong on that, but in the Gaelic grounds. But yeah, I think could be one to be looked at again from a Cork point of view. I'm sure Ben, in his post match, I'd say he could be fairly electric today, judging off the one against Tip. There was a few issues there. I'd say he'll want to get it across to the media, so we'll see what happens.
And finally, Dan, I won't keep it for long, because I can imagine you're wanting to get out of Limerick fairly quickly. But look, we've 2 weeks now. We're away to Tipperary. If you're Ben O'Connor, what are you focusing in on most?
Oh, getting Barry Walsh in anyway, for one. probably just that concentration for the full 70, as you said. But again, I just think, I don't know, too much wishy-washy stuff. Just play the ball. I think puckouts is a huge one as well. We never have got him right over the last few years. I think that's just such a huge one. We can get that one right. We couldn't go along today, really, because their half-back line of Kyle Hayes and Dermot Burns were just so good. But we were very poor as well in that half-forward line to get those balls. And then the short ones, then Limerick were just swarming us. They were unbelievable. So, yeah, Limerick full credit, you know, for their win today. But I think we'll get them at some stage in the year anyway.
Fingers crossed in 3 weeks' time. Dan, thanks a million for joining us. Safe drive home.
Yeah.
And for anyone who does not know, the dissent rule is anyone who objects to a referee's decision can now, the officials can bring the ball forward 30 metres and a free on the offending team's 20 metre line can be awarded if a member of management, such as the backroom team, manager, or water carrier, anyone engages any behaviour that might interfere with the referee, it can be brought to a 20 metre free. Rob Downey has said, while speaking to the media, he doesn't think there should be any backchat to the referee and is all for it. But where do you draw the line of backchat and just standing up for yourself? But now we turn our attention to LGFA, and the third Cork team into a league final is the Cork ladies football team, and ahead of next Saturday's 2026 Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 final between our own Rebels and Galway, back down again at the Tuscaloosa grounds with a 5 p.m. throw-in. Our very own Ger McCarthy has been speaking to senior manager Joe Carroll and the county senior captain Emma Cleary.
Now, ahead of next weekend's LGFA National League Division 1 final between Cork and Galway at the TOS Gaelic grounds, joining us here on the Big Red Bench is Cork LGFA senior manager Joe Carroll. Joe, how are you?
Good, Ger.
You have a busy week ahead of you preparing for a National League Division 1 final, but it's a good place to be and a deserved one after the great run you've been on this year.
Yeah, sure, look, it's a great place to be. I suppose, like, you could look at it in two ways. We'd have a month off to prepare for the Munster Championship, but when there's a final involved, it's nice to be preparing for that and for the group we have, for their development. I think it's very important that we play in a final and that they get the experience of playing a final. I know we played in the Division 2 final last year, but it's a bit different. There's a bit more prestige involved in it because it's Division 1.
And a chance at silverware, Joe, because some of your more experienced players would have been in finals, but the majority of this panel have not been involved in such a high-profile final before. So, again, good experience?
Absolutely huge. Like, 3 years, that group haven't really played in a national senior final before, so it's going to be a great learning curve for them. And I know maybe like some Terry O'Sullivan and players like that would have played in previously. One, Shauna Kelly would have played previously. Melissa Duggan would have played previously. But the other players, like, it's going to be a big test for them.
And the fact that it's Galway, Joe, I mean, you know them well from last year, as you said, in Division 2 final that was played in Croke Park. You've already played them once this year and it was close. They'll have a few players back tomorrow as well. At the weekend as well. And you know this is going to be a close game. But again, that type of opposition is the best possible preparation heading into the Munster Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we know Galway from, I suppose, Cork know Galway well over the last 3 or 4 years of the stage. They meet on a frequent basis, and Galway have won games and Cork have won games at different stages in it. And look, we know that they were missing a good few players today. We played them in the league, so it's going to be a big task for us to try and turn them over in the league final. But look, we look forward to trying and taking on that challenge.
Now, you and your backroom team would have had a plan in place for if you didn't reach a Division 1 final. As you said, it would have been a month into the Munster Championship. But something like this and the preparation and the work that has to go into it, how beneficial is it from your own point of view and the backroom team's point of view to have a game to focus on? And it cuts down that long time between the league and championship as well.
Yeah, it does. Look, and I suppose, look, games are worked 2 to 3 training sessions any day you play them, and it cuts down the big gap. So, like, if we had the big gap of the month to the Munster Championship, we will have to try to do one team maybe that easy to get a challenge game. Then in between, it's difficult to keep it going when you're training night after night, and you get a better idea as well to see where players are at when they play games, and you know, and the preparation of the match day weekend and things like that. So it's going to be a good learning curve for us from that point of view as well.
You've spoken before, but one of the big positives out of this campaign is the gelling of a squad that was pretty new to each other at the start of the year. But any other big kind of bonus that you've seen or the real positives? I know it didn't go your way above in Dublin the previous weekend, but you still created enough chances that you could have won it. Is that a good sign in that you lost the game, you're disappointed, but you still created the chances that you could have won? And has that been something that's pleased you over the course of the league?
Yeah, look, when we look back over it, we created six goal chances and only took two. Dublin created 4 and took 2 of them. You know, I suppose, like, that was a bit of an outback for us, a smart bit, and I think for something we learned hugely out of it, despite the fact that we lost the match. But the other thing, like, that we took out of that was, compared to last year against Dublin, when we were in a kind of a similar situation at halftime, had played with the wind, were fairly well down, and we totally capitulated in the second half. That didn't happen the last day, which was a very, very good thing. And I think that's down to the effort the girls have put in themselves since December to gel as a team. And look, we know we didn't play well, and everybody will accept that. And it is good now to try and go to the final and try and rectify some of those things again before we play champion.
And just finally, obviously you want to win the trophy. Obviously it would be a huge boost heading into what's going to be a very tough Munster Championship this year. But what are you looking for other than obviously looking to win it? What are you hoping to get out of this game and the Division 1 final?
Yeah, I think the big thing from us all the year has been performance. That when we perform, we'll be thereabouts with anybody. So, like, I suppose putting our best foot forward on the day, and if we perform on the day and play to the best of our capabilities, I suppose to win any match you need 10, 12, 13 maybe players playing quite well, and you have a reasonable chance. The last day against Dublin, we felt that we didn't have that at all. We were far, far from it, and still nearly won the match. So look, I suppose from that point of view, performance is going to be key for us in the final, like, and I suppose Galway will be looking at the same thing, so that we're going into the championship in a positive frame of mind, whether it be win it, which would be great, obviously, and lose it. If we happen to lose it, like, that we're still going to the championship in a fierce positive frame of mind, and we have learned a lot from the league, which we have so far, because all our games have been very tight, and we've learned how to cope with things, like when games have been tight, and I think we're reasonably good in tight situations coming down the line. So hopefully that we get the match in the last 10-15 minutes the next day that we'd be in it.
Saturday, April 11th, the Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 final between Cork and Galway. It takes place at the TUS Gaelic Grounds in Limerick with a 5 o'clock throne. We'll be there for the big red bench. And between now and then, we wish you all the best in your preparations. To the Cork Senior Manager and his panel, Joe Carroll, all the best.
Thanks, Sean.
Now, ahead of the 2026 Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 final between Cork and Galway at the TUS Gaelic Grounds in Limerick at 5 o'clock next Saturday, April the 11th, we are thrilled to once again be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the Cork senior captain and Aero footballer, Emma Cleary. Emma, how are things?
Good, Joe. How are things?
Good to talk to you again. It's fantastic to be building up towards a Division 1 league final, especially at the start of the year, having just gained promotion, nobody quite sure how Cork were going to go. So how are preparations within the camp, how have they been going and coming along ahead of this game with Galway?
Good, yeah. Preparations are going well. I suppose we probably had a bit of a disappointing day against Dublin there on the last day out in the league. So probably just putting that to bed, taking a few learnings from that, and then all focus on Galway now as well for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you did mention there the Dublin game in Parnell Park. Despite the loss, you created quite a lot of goal chances as well, Emma. So I suppose on the plus side, disappointing to lose, but even if you're losing and creating those chances, you'll be hoping to replicate that when it comes to facing Galway.
Yeah, definitely. I think we definitely wouldn't have been happy with our first half performance there against Dublin, but I think our second half, as you said, we had plenty of chances. We just didn't convert them. I think looking back at the highlights on Stream Sport there, I think the full highlights was just us missing goal chances in the second half. So that's definitely something we'll be working on over the next week or so, and hopefully we can convert a few of those the next day against Galway.
Hopefully, yeah. Reaching a National League final, Emma, and I know you did last year in Division 2, but playing so consistently, that's the word I would use, throughout the league campaign. How much of a confidence boost have you seen that within the panel from the start of the year to going so well in the league and playing, as I said, at a consistent level? I mean, it's got to be a boost heading into a final before we even talk about the Munster Senior Championship.
Yeah, look, it is pleasing, I suppose. We kind of just took it game by game throughout the league, and we put together some good performances. You know, we had really tough matches, and I think a lot of them there, we dug out wins, especially. I think one of the most pleasing things probably was a few games there we had went behind against the likes of Galway and against the likes of Armagh, and we got ourselves back into the game and ended up winning those games. But yeah, I think we have been pretty consistent across the whole league. So I think what we'll be looking for is a good 60-minute performance next weekend.
Indeed, and you'll need it because it's Galway again, who you met in last year's Division 2 league final, who've come up to Division 1 with Cork, and both of you have reached the National League, finishing top of the table. Now, the last time you faced the Connacht side was back in February at Parky Ring, where you edged a close game, 110-25. I assume, Emma, having faced Galway quite a few times over the last couple of years, you're expecting nothing less than another close battle at the Gaelic Grounds.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose we know Galway very well at this stage, playing them in Division 2 last year, as you said, in the Division 2 final, and then we've met them a good bit over the years in the All-Ireland Championship as well. Look, we know they'll probably have a few players back as well from that day we played them in the league. So, look, it'll be a very good match, hopefully, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And as well as that, the fact that it's at the TUS Gaelic Grounds and on that particular pitch, it's always a very, very good pitch. It's going to, you know, allow for good football and flowing football. It should suit the type of football that you've been playing on the front foot this year.
The Gaelic Grounds will be a very nice venue for it, I suppose. Ourselves in Galway as well, probably makes sense not kind of dragging the two teams up to Dublin. A great pitch and a great stadium. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of people, having played them in Croke Park last year, were expecting it would be the same again. But as you said, I mean, the players are probably, obviously you want it, any chance you get to play in Croke Park as a footballer, you want to do so. But this made a lot of sense for both camps really to go to Limerick.
Yeah, it did. And I think they're in the Division 2 final as well as above in Clonus with Cavan and Donegal. I think, do you know what, hopefully there'll be a good atmosphere for the two teams, and hopefully there'll be a good Cork sport come up to Limerick to support us.
Yes, we certainly hope so. And look, Emma, how important is it for Cork to win a trophy, you know, especially after such a positive league run? Or is it just about maintaining consistency, win, lose or draw against Galway, heading into that Munster Senior Championship and All-Ireland Senior Championship in the coming weeks and months? But winning a trophy would be a big thing for this group.
Look, it would. And I definitely think that once you get to a final, you want to go out and win it then. But I suppose, you know what, it isn't the be-all and end-all. As I said, you start out at the start of the year just wanting to maintain your Division 1 status is the first goal. And then as you go further in, you know, we've ended up in a final now, and as I said, while it's not the be-all and end-all, it would be great for this group particularly because we haven't had any silverware there in the last 3 or 4 years. So look, it would be great for the group, but I don't think it's to be all and end all. I think, you know, championship is only 2 weeks around the corner as well. So look, once you get to a final, of course, you want to go out and win it, but as I said, it's not the end of the world either.
It certainly isn't, but we'd love to see you lifting that trophy, Emma, come Saturday evening. So on Saturday, April 11th at 5 o'clock at the TUS Gaelic Grounds in Limerick, it's the 2026 Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 final between Cork and Galway. The big red bench will be there. But between here and then, Emma Cleary, senior captain, we wish you and the Cork panel all the best.
Thanks, sir.
And if you're around next Saturday, make sure to make your way down to the Tuas Gaelic Grounds. But before we head to the break, we're going to hear from Clare manager Brian Lohan after his side's 226-320 win ahead of Dublin. Obviously, we are playing Clare at home in the final round of the Munster Round Robin on the 24th of May. And with how Munster has played out in recent years, like, that could be a deciding game. So we're going to see where Brian thinks his side stands now ahead of that championship.
Brian Lohan, congratulations. You've claimed the Division 1B title today. That's the job done that you probably set out to do at the start of the year?
Yeah, look, I suppose, won all our games in the round robin stage, and it was important for us to come and win the final. Look, that's what we did.
The full forward line caused wreck for you in the first half, 213 out of 215. Shane O'Donnell and Dave Fitzgerald came off at half time. Was that precautionary, or what's going on there with those changes?
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, we picked up a couple of knocks, and we just decided to make the changes. We had three guys that we didn't start as well, so, you know, it's I suppose, you know, when you get knocks, you have to make the call on the day. So, you know, our medical team will be looking at those over the next couple of days, and hopefully they'll be all right.
Yeah, Mark Rogers, who had 12 points, but not injured as well. So with 2 weeks to go, you'll be hoping that one isn't a bad one. But you have developed the panel this spring, and you've had a lot of boys in around their early 20s coming on and made an impact in that second half as well.
Yeah, sure. Look, we've got, I think we used 37 of our 39 players in the league. So it was good from that perspective. And, you know, I suppose you can only try and get out of the league what you can, and, you know, it gave us the opportunity to blood some players, and that's what we did.
There was far more of a championship feel to the second half. You were 10 up at the break. The Dubs came at you a few times, and you needed leadership and different fellas stepping up in the second half there to pull away in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. It was important that we showed our hurling in the first half and our fight really in the second half. So, in fairness, it was really put up to our lads, and they responded well and got a couple of scores, which, you know, were the difference in the end.
Yeah, congrats on the win. The boys are down having their food. You'll probably hang around and watch the second game here, the Limerick and Cork game.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll watch that and look forward to seeing a good game there.
Brian Lohan, thanks for chatting to us. And 2 weeks of Munster Championship. Best of luck with the prep.
Thanks, Tommy.
And don't go anywhere, because coming up after the break, we chat athletics and we chat women's Six Nations ahead of Ireland's opening game against England. Red Bench. Welcome back. It's Melanie Brown here with you for the next half hour. If you missed it, unfortunately, our own Rebels missed out on back-to-back league titles after a 127-121 loss against neighbours Limerick. We'll hopefully have more reaction from that coming up very shortly. But for now, we're going to talk athletics. And the PwC Anthony Reedy Memorial 5K takes place on Wednesday week, the 15th of April. The event, which is now in its fifth year, has raised over £75,000 for several charities, with this year's race partner is Focus Ireland. Rory has been speaking with Declan Manswell, a partner at PwC, about the race.
All right, Declan. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we've been here to talk about the Anthony Reedy Memorial 5K. It's been a very, very fast year. But let's talk about last year's race first. It was fantastic to see such a huge turnout for it.
Yeah, we're very pleased with last year's event, Rory. It was a nice evening in Cork. We had almost 1,000 people, so it was fantastic. And, you know, it's built on the event that we've held since 2022. So this year will be our fifth running of the event. So over the years, you know, it's got a very good following, and we hope to build on that this year.
Yeah, 100%. It's great to see a race get to the 5 year mark, I suppose. Talk to us, I suppose, a little bit, Declan, about Anthony and why you decided to start the race.
Yes, yeah, so he was an audit partner here in PwC, and he sadly passed away in 2001. So he's fondly remembered by our people here and clients and colleagues, and that we want to do something to mark his legacy, and that's where the run came about. And it's just gotten strength to strength every year. Anthony was from Knocklagoshal in Kerry, but lived in with UCC and made his career in Cork, and his family still live in the city, you know. So it's a nice event, you know, to keep that memory alive.
And was Anthony a runner himself?
Yeah, no, he was, you know. So again, that was one of the reasons why we thought it was a nice event to link in with his own passions, you know. So,
yeah, 100%. So, like, it's obviously, as you mentioned, it's the fifth year of the running of the race. How have you found the organisation side of it, and has it gotten easier as time has gone on, or is it getting a bit harder as the race gets bigger every year?
Yeah, we're a little bit of victims of our own success in that, like, we get very good numbers on the night. We're probably expecting to break the 1,000 barrier this year. But in saying that, you know, it's our fifth time doing it, so kind of we know how it's done. I've plenty of volunteers here in PwC helping me to administer it, you know, so that helps to manage it on the night. And this year we've moved towards online registration to help make it a little bit slicker.
Yeah, 100%.
But this year, that online facility is through Eventmaster. So people want to Google Eventmaster, PwC, Anthony Reedy, they'll see the links there, and then people can pick up their numbers on the day of the race on the 15th of April. Or alternatively, the normal registration on the night is also available here in our offices in Mood Albert Quay.
And as you say, Declan, like, you have plenty of volunteers to help you out. It must be, I suppose, a great event for you guys as a company to harbour that community spirit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, so the office here on the 15th of April will be a hive of activity from the morning of the event as we just get ready for it. As I said, for the people who pre-registered, they can pick up their numbers anytime on that Wednesday. People who want to register on the night, that will kick off at 6 o'clock. The event itself will we start from Kennedy Park at 7:30, and then afterwards, as is customary for the BHA, we'll have tea and coffee and buns and biscuits, etc., back at the office here afterwards.
Yeah, look, speaking from experience as a runner who's run this race, look, it's always a fantastic event, it's a fantastic evening, there's always a great atmosphere, a great buzz at it, and as you mentioned, the spread afterwards is probably one of the best of any races that I've been to, so that's a huge selling point for me anyways, coming down to getting the tea and the cakes afterwards, which is fantastic. Yeah. But just route-wise, Declan, has it changed this year now with the marina being back fully open?
Yeah, we've made some slight tweaks to it. So in the past, we've kind of done a loop around Monaghan Road and to the Centre Park Road, and that brings some challenges in terms of traffic, etc. So this year, with the marina being fully finished and fully accessible, we've got the same starting point and ending point at Kennedy Park. So it'll start there, head out Monaghan Road, and Parky Guive, and then come back in Monaghan Road and finish at the same place where we started by Kennedy Park.
Yeah,
so a slight tweak compared to last year, but not dramatic.
Yeah, 100%. And look, just again, speaking from the runner's experience, it's a wonderfully fat 5K. It's a great course to go off and try and get a PB on as well. So if you're around on the night, like, you know, if you're tagging a 5K PB, this could be the race for that. A big part of this race over the years, Declan, has been the charity aspect, and your charity partner this year is Focus, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, Rory. Since we started it, we've raised over 75,000 for charity. So this year, the charity partner is Focus Ireland. So we'll be taking donations on the night, and in advance, we have an iDonate platform set up. And again, people can Google iDonate PwC Focus Ireland, and that'll pop up. So we're very happy to take any contributions towards a very worthy cause.
Yeah, it certainly is a very worthy cause. Declan, a pleasure as always, sir. I'll see you on the night. I'll have my singlet on and it'll be running, so I'll see you in the night, and best of luck with the race.
Thanks for the support.
And finally, for now, we are going to chat rugby and ahead of the Women's Six Nations that kicks off next Saturday as Ireland make their way over to play England. And obviously, there's huge excitement surrounding that Scotland fixture, which takes place on May 17th. And it's the first standalone Women's Six Nations game played in the Aviva Stadium. But ahead of all that, Susanna Mullen has been speaking to Linda Jungang, one of the most capped Irish players, and just getting her thoughts on the tournament ahead.
Linda, we're back. We're in the High Performance Centre. This is the first day of camp, am I correct?
It is, yes.
Yeah? How happy are you to be back involved in Irish camp again?
No, really exciting. I think we are buzzing to just even see everyone back. I think we were together in January, so it's really nice to get everyone back again and start training. I'm really buzzing for what the tournament, what's ahead of us.
Yeah, coming off the back of a World Cup, obviously this is the first time you guys are all going to play together again.
Yeah.
Does that make the Six Nations even more exciting than maybe all the ones you've done in the past? Yeah.
Yes. I think that just even from the World Cup, I think it's always an honour to put the green jersey on, and even being called back, and is always something special to be amongst this group of people. So yeah, for me it's always an honour, and I just can't wait to just get on and just get training for the tournament to begin.
You've got England first on April 11th, I think it is.
Yes.
Saturday week.
Yeah.
You obviously made your debut against England.
I did.
7 years ago now.
Oh my God.
Does that make like England games always a little bit more special, the fact that your debut was in the Six Nations against England?
Yes, I think it makes really any game quite special. I think, like I said, like just even putting the jersey, because there's so many other girls that didn't get the opportunity to put it on. So it always brings you back to be like, I'm given this opportunity again. And it's really, getting my first cap for England, it was always special. It's something you always remember. It's always something that I will always cherish. But it's also show you where, how far you come. And there's so much more to bring. It's so much more from all of us, from player to management. I think everyone is just really dying to get going, get to our routine, really understand our game, what we want to bring. And yeah.
Have you had a chance to reflect on maybe the disappointment at the end of the World Cup over the past couple of months and channel that into, as you said, like bringing more into the Six Nations?
Yeah, I think in January we kind of really put the World Cup behind us and kind of focus on our wrong, and also how do we change those wrong to make them right. But also just the support, the immense support that we got, how far we come, and we just see really our potential, how far we can go.
Yeah.
I think we just really want to focus on how far we can really go forward. And I think after the World Cup, we've seen how much the support that we have behind us. We've seen the momentum that we bring. So we just want to take this opportunity and just kind of just keep going and still have this momentum. We have 3 home advantages this year, so that's quite big for us. And the fact that we're travelling around and building that green wave, so something special. So this year is quite special for us. So ahead like of the World Cup, I think we just really just want to focus on us, really, and just continue just playing our game, sticking to our system.
Yeah. Speaking of that support, I mean, obviously 70,000 tickets already sold.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's going to be a record for the Six Nations.
Wow.
Even when you were there in 24, I think it was a record then.
Yeah.
But it was like 50,000. Yeah. How, I suppose, different is that for you, knowing you're going into that crowd, compared to, say, when you made your debut in 2019, when I'm sure there was a couple of thousand in the crowd, not 70,000?
Yeah, it's something that we definitely, I think, just really the momentum that we've seen even at the World Cup. I think having that World Cup, building that momentum, and also it comes to our performance. I think we have to be able to perform. It's where we want to be at. It's really, it's all all of this is due to our hard work. It's from players to management to the staff, and you know, I think everyone have put in, and also the supporters. We wouldn't be able to do what we do if we didn't have really amazing support. And we saw that, we felt that to the World Cup, like it was incredible. So the fact that we're able to come home and play our home games and have the same amount of support, it's just really, it means the world to us, because it's what we do it for. Like, we do it for our fans, we do it for our supporters, but also we're able to just focus on us. I think playing in Twickenham, we're getting now used to having so many people at our game that it's not a surprise to us anymore. For us, it's just really, it's that privilege that we're able to do. This is what we do. For some of us, this is our job, you know. So it's quite special. It's always a pinch me moment that you're like, oh my God. But it's also show how far women's sports have come, and that's what special to see, yeah, and how far it can go. So I think we're setting, like, I wouldn't say like standard, but we're setting like this is how it is now, but it can go further in a few years' time. So it's just little, just paving the way, really, and that's what we want to do, and we want to pave the way so that in a few years' time it can even get bigger.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to ask you that. Does it make you nervous, like the thought of 70,000 people watching, or is it you've gotten a bit used to it now? You had the big crowds at the World Cup. Yeah. It's just exciting.
Yeah, I think that, to be honest, as a player, for me personally, it's a pinch me more. It's so special. It's honestly so special. But it's also, you kind of also forget in the game, because you're so focused on what's going on, that you forget that you're surrounded by thousands of people. And it's until like in those really tense moments in a game, or you're in their 22 or they're in your 22, that you remember that, oh my God, they support there. When you hear that Ireland call, like when you hear someone, like it just gives you that extra 1% energy, that extra 10%, and that's really what you want. And then it just, it grounds you that this is home, you know, that supports mean everything. It's that home advantage. Any team would play any home, like home advantage is massive for a game.
Yeah.
So the fact that this year is really our year to kind of take this opportunity.
Yeah, massive, because there's three home games.
Yeah.
I want to ask you just last thing on England, and then I swear we'll move on. You've gotten so close over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Last year, obviously, an amazing first half, and then the second half ran away a little
bit.
What do you need to do now, this year, in the next week and a half, to make sure you kind of get that performance that you're looking for?
I think we just really need to stick together, stick to our system. I think is we just need to just, our team is togetherness. Especially coming back again together after the World Cup is a big thing. We want to reconnect. We also want to learn from our mistake from a few years ago. And I think we keep learning on it. And we have amazing new girls coming through. So they're bringing so much energy. And it's an amazing to see. So we're definitely growing as a team. And then we always need the 23, the 32, the 36. So without, we wouldn't win if it wasn't for all of us really working together.
You mentioned new players there. That was actually my next question.
Oh my God.
You're psychic. I think there's three new uncapped props, if I'm right. Maybe. Anyway, a number of new people coming through. You're now one of the more experienced girls in the squad.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'm still learning.
Yeah, I know, I can imagine. But have they kind of come up to you for advice yet? Is it a bit early for that? And if they do, what kind of advice are you going to give them?
Yeah, I've been probably Celtic Challenge with Sophie Barrett and Ailish. She's from Clover. So she's, honestly, there's so much talent there. Sophie has been here for a few years now, so she has experience under her belt. Like, she hasn't been capped yet, but I definitely see her coming. She's so hardworking, and they're just really hungry, and it's so good to see the depth coming through, and we're building on those depth. And even Saif now, like, there's so much, they're so powerful, like, honestly. I can't wait to see them on the pitch, because they bring so much energy on and off the pitch, to be honest. So I'm really excited to see what they got. I was able to actually share the pitch with them, which in County Challenge, so it's really nice to play against each other and then come back here and play with each other.
Put away the competitiveness.
Yes, put away the competitiveness. But it's really nice. I think that we is really understanding your role, understanding the system, and fitting into the system too. And those girls just they do that just right. Perfect.
Is it strange trying to give them advice when the way they're starting out is obviously so different to when you started out just being thrown in there?
Definitely. Oh my god, I wish I was starting out this the way they were. Oh my god. But to be honest, they have the advantage, the fact that they, I feel like they've been nurtured more. They've been looked after a little bit more. But they have that. And to be honest, like, we had amazing Dennis Fogarty, who is our scrum coach, and he's brilliant in really helping them, helping us getting to our shape, or like even gym, on the gym. On the gym?
Pretty much, in the gym.
Yeah, on and off. In the gym. And so he's really sound like that. Just really getting us prepared. Like, we do a lot of like gym work that we're able to incorporate into our pitch work. And that's really important in a scrum. And I think with being a scrum, I think you really learn by just playing. Like, you gain your experience, but because different prop scrum differently, and you only learn by repping, you only learn by feeling. And for scrummaging, it's all about feeling. Like, you just need to feel and adjust to what you're feeling, how to solve problems quickly on the pitch, and really communicate also, like, to your second row, to your back row, to your flanker, because I know everyone always look at is the scrum as is a problem, but it's all of us. Yeah. Like, it's a whole eight of us, so we wouldn't scrum if we didn't have all of us in it. So it's such an important part of our game. But I'm just really want to focus on scrummaging, because it's what I do,
what you love,
what I'm known for.
I can imagine it's good for you as well to have depth in there to scrummage against in training and stuff. I do just want to ask you on a personal note, it was announced in November that you left the centralized contract program to return back to kind of a career in nursing.
Yes.
If I may ask, why did you decide to make that decision?
Yeah, I think it was just really after the World Cup. It was just that transition. I think that after, like, it's such a bubble. We live in such a bubble, and I really wanted to go back to nursing, which now I finished nursing. I'm doing MedSurf now, which is the billing company here in Ireland, and we're set in like four location: Ireland, UK, Poland, and in Athlone too.
Okay.
So we provide, it's like a software billing and remote practice management. So it's still working the healthcare area, but really kind of helping healthcare professionals such as like consultants and GP, just making their practice just much easier. So still in the nursing, still talking, still in the hospital, meeting clients, consultants, and so I'm helping them, really making their job easy so they can really focus on their patients. Yeah.
Okay. And has it been weird balancing kind of rugby and going back into more full-time work again over the past couple of months?
Yeah, no, it's actually, MedSurf actually been brilliant in supporting me, giving me time off to be able to participate, to be able to do what I do here in Rhode Island. So they've been really supportive in that, and I'm really grateful for them to really understand my commitment to them and also to Ireland. So yeah, it's been a weird transition. I'm not gonna lie. But for me, it was really important that I know that I'm more than a player. There's more to me than just a rugby player, that there's other aspect of me, and to also focus on building those career outside of sports. So because rugby is such an unpredictable game that you just never know what's going to happen next. So it's good to also challenge all my experience here as leaders and all that, to be able to incorporate that in the corporate world too, and to gain, also learn so much from MedSurf and being in that corporate environment, and also being able to apply that here on the pitch too.
I guess fans might be worried that you're transitioning back into a different world.
No.
What are your plans looking like for your future, I suppose?
To be honest, I think that I just kind of go with the flow. I see where everything kind of lead me. I'm really focused now with MedServe and trying to get the best out of the job, trying to learn as much as I can and give them 100% of myself. But also I'm focused on the rugby too, trying to still be the better player. I feel like sometimes in order for you to really appreciate what you have, you need to step away from it and look at it on a different lenses. So that's what I'm doing now. But I can say what I have in the future. I kind of really try to go with the flow and see what everything brings me. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
Just open-minded.
Yeah. Last question then. Scotland, first home game in the Aviva in the Six Nations for the women's ever, which is going to be massive. It's also the first time in Dublin that the women's team have played in Dublin since 2023.
I know.
Is that...
We played last time against Italy, isn't it?
Okay.
In the RDS. That was the last time we played.
Is that a big thing for you to be back playing in
yes,
Dublin?
Yes. Oh, 100%. Yes. I love the others. It's just so nice to play at home.
Okay. How excited are you to take to the pitch in the Aviva then?
I'm buzzing.
Yeah.
I'm buzzing. I'm so excited. It's such a historical game too, and it just fit well that we play against Scotland because they're such an amazing team, and it's always such a close games against us. But yeah, I think it's such a historical game for us, but also for the country, for women's sport, for the young girls, just really inspiring them that you can dream big, and with hard work and consistency things can happen. And so it's really good. I'm just really kind of grateful for even the RFU for allowing it to happen. It's the last game. It's really, I'm just buzzing that it's also that home game for us, like Leinster girls. Because I think we haven't had a home game in such, home game has been in Dublin,
yeah,
in such a long time. And I love traveling around. Like, we're going to Galway for the first time too, in the Dexin. Descom Stadium. So we haven't, I think I played there 2 weeks ago with the Kerti Challenge. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we've been to Belfast, and unfortunately this year we're not going to Musgrave Park, but it's also such a big, we made so much historical game there, but it's so just, it's nice to just play at home. It's nice to play in the Viva, and for the fact that we are going to share the pitch together, and close the Six Nations hopefully on a high.
Yeah.
And we wish them the best of luck as they kick that off next Saturday against England. But now we'll hear from Cork senior hurling manager Ben O'Connor after his side's loss 127-121 against neighbours Limerick.
Yeah, I suppose we started poorly and we got back into the game before half time, and I suppose we got a slow enough start to the second half, but we got back into it, and I suppose last 15 or 20 minutes they took over again around the middle of the field, and they got scores a lot easier than what we did. We sent against the breeze, so look, we'll just have to look back in the video and just see where we can improve on.
What lessons did you learn?
That we're a bit off a jet, that Limerick are still a good bit ahead of us and we've a lot of work to do.
Ben, what was it in terms of not being at it? Because at one stage in that first half it was 10 scores to 2. You did get that goal from Brian Hayes, it was quite a bizarre one, but what was that start? Because it's kind of 2 games around the Gaelic grounds where Limerick have kind of set the tone.
Yeah, I suppose it's a strong breeze as well, which wasn't easy, and I suppose we were lucky enough to get the goal that brought us back into it, but I thought then once we got a foothold we hurled away okay maybe for 20 or 25 minutes and they took over then again for a spell. So I suppose look, they worked the ball better than what we did. They got their scores easier than what we did. It's just, we'll look back in the video now and we'll see where we can improve on for the 2 weeks.
Yeah, you were dangerous even against the win in the first half and the ball went in direct. But in the second half, was there a lack of movement or what was the disconnect between the defence and attack? Because you couldn't seem to get hand on ball in dangerous enough areas.
Yeah, I suppose it suited us probably better against the breeze, that the ball was dropping in front of our forwards. And I suppose the second half they set back and we had no room inside there. So that's just something to look at. Look, we have a lot of learnings to take from it, and we'll improve from it, and as I said, points on the week now is the one.
You must feel like you can go up another level altogether to that.
We'll be hoping so. Time will tell. Sunday week we'll see, you know. But we didn't give it our best there. Tried hard, but I thought the hurling was sloppy at times.
Now, I did play that audio straight to air without listening, and I was a little bit nervous given Ben's track record in post-match interviews, but that is all we have time for on today's Big Red Bench. But don't worry, there's plenty of sporting action coming our way in Cork this week. The McCarthy Insurance Group Football League continues tomorrow night as Carbery Rangers take on Kilnamatra. There is some tasty fixtures in the Red FM Hurling League, Newtown and Erin's Own going head-to-head Wednesday. And at inter-county level, we have the Miners getting their 2026 hurling campaign underway. They had a bye in the first round and they'll now face Waterford in Dungarvan Friday night. Obviously, the Women's Six Nations and elsewhere, Cork LGFA have their Division 1A final against Galway, another trip to the Gaelic grounds. That's at 5 o'clock Saturday. And finally, if we didn't have enough of Limerick yet, we will play them in the quarterfinal of the Munster Senior Football Championship on Sunday. Now, that was a mouthful. That is all I have time for on today's Big Red Bench. But coming up next is Mags Blackburn with Green on Red.